boats go out across the evening water, smuggling guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves aloud, the ghost moon sails among the clouds, turns the rifles in the silver on the border. On my wall, the colors of the maps are running. From Africa, the winds, they talk of changes coming. The torches flare up in the night, the hand that sets the farms alight, to spread the word to those who are waiting on the border. In the village where I grew up, nothing seems the same. Still you never see the change from day to day. No one notices the customs slip away.
Well, good morning to you. It is the 14th, and I'm playing one of my favorite songs because I think we're on the border again. We are on the border of some sort of a change, some sort of a revolution. I was a little bit of mixed feelings on Moore. I realized that it could have been true that he had made passes at young girls, but there was, where's the evidence? You know, it's been decades later. Now, the other side won, the Democrats won, so now you have a one-seat advantage for the Republicans. Here's my overall feeling. The Republicans are not serious. Donald Trump is serious. The Republicans are not serious because they were given everything on a silver platter to repeal Obamacare, and they failed to do it. And the reason that John McCain, who cast the deciding vote against it, said is that we've got to have both parties involved in this. Dying of brain cancer and to his death buying into the illusion that what is needed is not less, but actually more cooperation between the two parties at a time when the entire bill for Obamacare was passed by one side of the aisle. It had a chance to be replaced by another side of the aisle, and John McCain, so sick already, so crazy, and so nuts in the worship of himself, I hate to say it, decides that he's not going to support the repeal of Obamacare. Now, we've lost a seat. If we lose another one, you know, you can do the math. It'll be tied. And so I think what you've done here is through the squandering of opportunities. You remember the guy that said true rape versus false rape, or... And that guy lost, and then there were other people that lost. I'm trying to remember that guy's name. And he lost. And so what's happening here, and I think it happened with Moore, is that people get in and they're very selfish. They can't win. You know, Moore became so crippled up that his chances of winning were gone, and so he had to stay in there. Now, Claire McCaskill, it was a miracle that she won, and she had the nerve to get up then. Claire McCaskill is a castrating person. She was running against Representative Todd Akin. Akin said, when they were asking him, we were talking about... I guess sexual assault, and he talked about the difference between legitimate rape versus illegitimate rape. Whatever the point was, that seat was lost, and Claire McCaskill then gets up and pretends that she won the race because of her great genius, and she actually wrote a big article about this, and I just thought it was one of the most immodest things that I had ever seen, and I thought we could have had this nutcase lady out of here. Yet we refuse to do it. So now we're looking at a split, or even possibly the party, the Senate, which was supposed to be safe, being handed over to the Democrats. So I just think that this, I'm doing free form today. I'm not going off a script. I'm just going to talk to you about what's on my mind. I think the GOP hates Trump, and they forgot why they were voted. They were voted in to put an agenda in place, and they don't care about that. Because some of them, many of them are liberals. And I was thinking today I was going to talk about this. What's a liberal? I mean, you can talk about the history of the liberal, which I have done in the past, and what, you know, where the ideas came from and everything. Interesting. Informative. But I thought, well, you know, you boil it down, what is the essence of a liberal? And how is it possible that people get voted into these positions, they go from being conservative to liberal? How does that transition take place? And what is the essence of liberalism so that we can understand it better, and so that we can then, I guess, form an antidote against it, or at least put the message out there? So I think what a liberal is, it's a person who is a humanist. Now, a humanist believes in the ideas and thoughts and actions of humans. Not a shock there. But, I'm turning on my heater here. A humanist is a person who puts people over any other source of ideas. Now, you can turn around and say, well, all ideas come from people, don't they? Well, yes and no. A person who believes in the Bible says the ideas in the Bible came from God. A person who studies history says, outside of ideology, Marxism or any other ideology in history, we see history itself teaching us things. And so you see what I'm getting. I think what happens, and the reason that it is such an immense problem, it's such a just absolutely delightful or tasty a goal or an end. Liberalism is so delicious to people because what liberalism does is it feeds into the idea of humanism, and humanism puts people first, people's ideas and such first. And it therefore puts the senator or the congressman or judge or whoever it is, it puts them first. What it does is it persuades people, or it is the end result of being persuaded, that stands for people I think it's egotism. And that's why it's so dangerous. And so people become liberal. Maybe they're raised liberal. Maybe they're persuaded to be liberals through university. But they're persuaded through their ego that they can become a great person. I mean, one of the hallmarks of Christianity, for example, is the idea that every person is a lowly sinner, a worm, and will never change. I mean, you can become sanctified, according to the Christian theology, means to become more like God, more holy. But you will never lose worm status. You will never stop being a sinner. In humanism and liberalism, you can become a great person. And by asserting your humanism, by asserting liberalism, and you grow in might and power and influence. And so I think it is the triumph of the ego. And that's why I believe that dealing with liberals a lot of times is a very unpleasant thing. Not all of liberals are like this, but there are many, many who think of themselves as a great person because of their beliefs, because of their achievements. After all, doesn't it take a great person to become a U.S. senator or state senator, congressman? Isn't there something different? And so through contrast, they're a great person because they took the risk of they took the risk of running for office. They put it out there. They were judged by their fellow persons as being worthy, great, wonderful. And so they win and they become great. They embrace greatness. And that's what liberalism is about. And it is almost universally results in epic failure. And so why do liberals see failure in their wake and they don't turn away? Or as the Bible says, a dog returns to its own vomit. Why don't they see the vomit of their own decision making and do something about it? And I think once again, it's egotism. They see what they've done. They see who they are as great. And greatness doesn't need to make any apologies, right? So that's one of the things you're dealing with. You've got a certain number of people who get elected as Republicans. I guess arguably you could, some of them could be Democrats, but the vast majority of people who consider themselves to be conservatives are voted in and or join the Republican Party. You know, there's two parts of the Republican Party. There's the God believers and those that are not God believers. And it's kind of fascinating that although the left attacks conservatives as being uniformly Christians, they're not. As a matter of fact, there are some significant numbers of individuals who are atheists or agnostics who still see the truth in conservatism. So what we're fighting against is this thing that I think ends up turning into globalism. How does that happen? Well, the people who were conservative and put together the conservative worldview that included capitalism, constitutionalism, rule of law, freedom of religion, all these different things, civil rights, criminal rights. These people had an insight, and that insight is set aside if you're full blown liberal. And what a full blown liberal wants to do is create a world in which everybody is forced to accept their ideas, so there's no freedom. And so globalism leads towards a universal state, universal decision making, so no resources are wasted. Water and petroleum, electricity, timber, precious metals, gold, silver, all these different things that are part of an economy. The left is fighting to internationalize them. Globalism would eventually end up in a world government. And what the conservative movement embraces, one of the things, the idea in the Wealth of Nations is the invisible hand, that markets, if left alone, will assemble themselves, because each person, in trying to offer something to others so that they can earn a living and survive, that makes in the person an ingenious, independent entity working on trying to find market opportunities. And through that, life becomes better and better and better. Now, in a command economy, as the Marxists and the liberals cared to brag about, everything is predetermined. There's no efficiency. And so you end up with a very inefficient and unpleasant world to live in. So anyway, that's what I think drives all this liberalism, is ultimately egotism. The irresistible impulse to embrace the great man theory of government, the great man theory of mankind or womankind, Now, I've got some breaking news here. Kentucky State Representative Dan Johnson dies of probable suicide in Mount Washington, which is a little bit sad, and I've got a clip here for you. And let's play in it just a second here.
Today we're going to show you some holiday gifts, if you see one.
And we'll get to skip this ad here first. But probable suicide, Dan Johnson, Kentucky State Representative Dan Johnson, under investigation for alleged sexual molestation, died of a probable suicide, ironically, in Bullitt County. So you've got all of these people out there that are just getting cut down. Now, I've got this clip for you here. And, oh, here we go. Our rest in peace.
The WDRB News Alert. Kentucky State Representative Dan Johnson has reportedly committed suicide.
Now, this comes just one day after he denied accusations of child molestation. We have crews across the area tonight as the story is still developing.
We begin with WDRB's Sarah Sidery, who's in his hometown of Mount Washington, where that reported suicide happened. Sarah.
This bridge behind me is where investigators say Representative Dan Johnson appears to have committed suicide tonight. This comes just one day after Johnson denied allegations of sexual molestation. Bullitt County Sheriff Donnie Tennell says Johnson shot himself on the bridge once under his chin. This happened in Mount Washington in a rural area off Grinnell Ford Road. Investigators say Johnson drove his SUV, a Ford Escape, over the bridge, pulled over, stood in front of the SUV, and shot himself one time. A deputy tells us someone saw Johnson's post on social media and called 911. Law enforcement then pinged his phone, which led them to this general area. They discovered his body near the bridge on the bank of the Salt River. An autopsy will be performed in the morning, but tonight law enforcement officials are calling this a tragedy. Reporting live in Bullitt County, Sarah Sidery, WDRB News.
Sarah, thank you. Meanwhile, hours before Representative Johnson reportedly took his own life, he made this post on Facebook. It says in part, "I love God and I love my wife, who is the best wife in the world. My love forever. My mom and dad, my family, and all five of my kids and nine grandchildren." He continued later in his post saying, quote, "I cannot handle it any longer. It has won this life, but heaven is my home."
You may remember it was just yesterday when Representative Johnson denied accusations that he molested a child. WDRB's Kyle Mitchell is live at the Heart of Fire City Church in Louisville, where it allegedly happened. Kyle.
Adrian, Representative Dan Johnson denied the accusations yesterday right here at his church. On Monday, the chairman of the Republican Party of Kentucky called on Representative Dan Johnson to resign. It came after a report emerged accusing him of sexually molesting a 17-year-old girl in a church basement in 2012. Just yesterday, Johnson responded to those claims at the Heart of Fire Church, where he was a pastor.
This allegation concerning this lady, this young girl, absolutely has no merit. I'm not standing here today to step down or to resign or to do anything like that. There's a lot of people that are willing to jump to judgment without any proof.
Johnson was never criminally charged in the case. Johnson added that politics was behind the accusation. Reporting live outside the Heart of Fire Church, Kyle Mitchell, WDRB News.
All right, thanks, Kyle. And a reaction was quick to come from lawmakers and Kentucky's governor tonight, Matt Bevin, saying, quote, "Saddened to hear of tonight's death of Kentucky Representative Dan Johnson."
Anyway, more accusation. More accusations there. Tavis Smiley, a very popular and a talented host, African-American talk show host, and he is suspended. PBS suspended late-night talk show host Tavis Smiley amid misconduct allegations against its hosts and namesakes. All right. More accusations against Russell Simmons. Three women have accused him. One of the biggest names in black entertainment, music mogul Russell Simmons is accused of rape by three women, a powerful gatekeeper in the entertainment media worlds. He supposedly damaged careers and the self-confidence of his victims with his pattern of sexual assault and harassment. So now, once all of these can come out, and they do come out, who's innocent and who's guilty? So let me go over some headlines for you. Salma Hayek says that Weinstein was my monster too, and he threatened to murder her. Clint Eastwood's film 1517 to Paris celebrates the real heroes. Struggling subway now facing franchisee revolt. And California has extraordinary amounts of homelessness now. And Bel Air, one of the trendy enclaves, wrestles with homelessness after encampment fire torches mansions. And so, in other words, some of these fires, these incredible fires in California, were started by homeless people. And California is also stepping closer to mileage tax for motorists. And the far leftism of the Governor Brown continues to take its toll and drive people and businesses out of California. So, jail journalist at a historic high. A dog becomes a blade runner, a dog given blades to run on. Now, Rupert Murdoch to sell off Fox assets to Disney, and his son may become the president of Disney. McCain hospitalized for side effects of cancer treatment. Study says women feel more unhappy than men until they reach their mid-80s, but what if they never reach them? New cell phone warning, radio frequency may affect health. Marines practicing full-scale air, sea, and ground assault, combined exercise first in more than a decade, and that's from North Korea. Charles Barkley may pursue a future in politics, kids. And U.S. at a crossroads confronting turmoil in Honduras. Pope, don't argue with the devil. He's more intelligent than you'll ever be. And a possessed teenager undergoes violent exorcisms. Fed raising rate and the economic expansion we're now experiencing could become the longest on record. Hotel adds panic buttons to protect housekeepers who are getting molested. And Trump promising giant tax cuts for Christmas, rates reduced. Growing number of Americans saying Christmas is not a religious holiday. Let me get into just a little bit. Country is a Christian country from its beginning. Can they come in and say Christ Mass, the Mass of Christ, of the birth of Christ? Can you say that's not Christian? Is that right? Walmart selling a marijuana tree. Now, Omarosa, good friends with the Donald, but not many others, is been fired. They told her she had to get out. She pissed off too many people. And so she tried to make it all the way to her boss's office to plead for her job, and they said, no, you're canned. She was turned around. She was ejected by security guards. And she also tripped the White House alarms after being fired, no doubt to get the Donald to intervene. David Cameron to Trump, your fake news act is dangerous. Well, number one, David Cameron, mind your own damn business. And number two, there is a ton of fake news that's being poured on Donald Trump. So stop. You know what really bothers me? It is this incessant drive to liberalize everything. And the people, the real sad ones, late last night, the way. Pardon me. The real sad ones are these individuals who claim to be Republicans or Republicans in name only, and they're just dying. They're always dying to prove that they're good people. Because, as we know, the left says that the people on the right are stupid, uneducated, immoral, evil. They're always trying to prove, a Republican who's trying to prove that they're not too conservative is a failure. Conservatism isn't the problem, it's the answer. So, Norway, first country to switch off FM radio, and some people don't appreciate it, but why are they doing that? Well, they're going into digital. What do you think about that? All right. So, flying car, 200 miles per hour. It's coming. I don't know if it looks that cute, but 200 mile an hour car, I'd be personally interested in that. Probably only cost $1 million. Now, getting back to the original story, 42 men accused of sexual misconduct and their fall from power. Ryan Lizza, a very influential writer for The New Yorker, fired. Trent Franks asked females to have a baby for him. U.S. representative fired. Lauren Stein, editor of the Paris Review, fired. Danny Masterson, raped women, fired. Matt Dababne, California State Assemblyman, will resign. Israel Horowitz, the father of one of the Beastie Boys, molested women. Justin Huff, Broadway casting director, fired. Garrison Keillor, creator and former host of Prairie Home Companion, said that he had touched one woman accidentally on the back, and PBS finally came back and said, you know what? He did it to many women. Matt Lauer, you know about him, fired. Charlie Rose, fired the hell out of him. John Conyers, resigned. Russell Simmons stepped down from his businesses. Al Franken will resign, but will he resign, my friends? Will he resign? David Sweeney, chief news editor at NPR, left. He left NPR. He's so far left, he left. Stephen Battelle, Florida Democratic Party chairman, resigned. Wes Goodman, Ohio State representative, resigned. Steve Jurvetson, co-founder of venture capital firm and a board member of Tesla and SpaceX, resigned. Tony Cornish, Minnesota state representative, resigned. Eddie Berganza, editor at DC Comics, fired. Andrew Kreisberg, executive producer of Arrow, Supergirl, and The Flash, fired by Warner. Louis C.K., comedian and producer. FX and other media companies cut his ties. Dan Schoen, Minnesota state senator, resigned. Benjamin Ginocchio, executive director of the Armory Show Art Fair, replaced. David Gallad, co-chief executive of Primary Wave Entertainment Agency, resigned. Andy Dick, actor, fired. Michael Oreskes, head of news at NPR and former New York Times editor, resigned. A lot of these people from NPR must have been a real heck of a molestation place. Hamilton Fish, president and publisher of The New Republic, resigned. Super lefty. Kevin Spacey, actor, fired from House of Cards. Super lefty. Paul Bocanegra, California State Assemblyman, resigned. Mark Halperin, dismissed, fired. MSNBC had a book canceled. I'm sure his co-author appreciated that. Rick Nahara, director of CBS's Diversity Showcase, resigned. Knight Landesman, publisher of Art Forum, resigned. Leanne West Seitler, former director at New Republic, Super Lefty Journal, fired. Terry Richardson, fashion photographer, banned from working with Condé Nast. John Besh, chief executive of Besh Restaurant Group, stepped down. Lockhart Steele, sounds like a TV detective. Editorial director of Vox Media, fired. Robert Scoble, tech blogger and co-founder of Transportation Group, resigned. Cliff Height, Ohio State Senator, resigned. Chris Savino, creator and showrunner of The Loud House, fired. Roy Price, head of Amazon Studios, resigned. Andy Signore, senior vice president of content for Defy Media, fired. Harvey Weinstein, fired the hell out of him. Now, there's more, folks. More suspensions. More accusations. Marshall Faulk, F-A-U-L-K, in case you're wondering, that would be ironic, wouldn't it? Heath Evans and Ike Taylor, analysts for NFL Network and former NFL players, suspended pending an investigation of sexual harassment. Eric Weinberger, former NFL Network executive, also accused. Mario Batali, chief and co-host of The Chew on ABC, stepped away from the show. John Healy, director of music publishing at Disney, suspended. Peter Martins, leader of New York City Ballet. Maybe he ran away without his tights on. He's taking a leave of absence after accusations of sexual harassment. James Levine, famous guy, longtime conductor of the Metropolitan Opera, suspended after four men said that he abused them. Shervin Pishavar, if you can say that, you're onto the bonus round, took a leave of absence from venture capital firm Sherpa Capital. Steve McLaughlin, New York State Assemblyman, disciplined by Ethics Committee. Andy Rubin, creator of Android and former executive at Google, took a leave of absence. John Lasseter, head of Pixar and Walt Disney Animation, 6 months sabbatical. Glenn Thresh, reporter at New York Times, was suspended, but he's not going to be fired. Mark Schwann, director and writer and producer, suspended from his show, The Royals. Gary Goddard, who's a true molester, a pedophile, took a leave of absence from his production company, the Goddard Group. Roy Moore, you know about him. Tony Mendoza, California State Senator, removed from leadership. Jeffrey Tambor, actor in Transparent. And he was going to quit. Now he's not. Ed Westwick. I'm sorry for going through all these. There's so many more. Oh, okay, there's only five more. Ed Westwick, starred in Gossip Girl, under investigation. His show on hold. Jeff Hoover, Speaker of Kentucky House of Representatives, resigned after it was stated he settled a sex harassment claim. Brett Ratner, Ratface Ratner, stepped away from all activities related to a $450 million agreement to co-finance Warner Brothers. Kurt Webster, musical publicist in Nashville, stepped away from firm. Ken Baker, journalist for E! Network, pulled from the shows. James Toback, screenwriter, director, dropped by his agent after 38 women accused him. All right, that's just today. That's just what we have today, and Tavis Smiley is the latest one. He was smiley. The women were not quite as excited about it. All right, so let's get on to something that I think is meaningful. Where are we at in the society right now per politics? Trump comes in, he's got four aces, he wins and comes in power. Republicans in the House, and what do the Republicans want to do? They want to prove to everybody that they're good guys. So a Trump immediately gets attacked by the Democrats, and a lot of people in the Republican Party fall silent. They refuse to protect him. Because why? Because even though they're highly disciplined and achieved people, they're also sheep and they get played. And so you don't have a phalanx, you don't have a guard to protect Trump. Now, is it his fault? Is it his own fault? I'm sure a lot of it is, but you're in politics to represent other people, right? You're in there to represent other people, and if you can't do that, get the hell out. You're not there to prove, like Jeff Flake, that you're better than Trump. What in the hell is wrong with you, you know? Jeff Flake is leaving office after this. And what did he achieve? He wanted everybody to know that Donald Trump was an unacceptable person. Good for you. You know what? It's not about that. The left makes stuff like that. Their claim, their idea is that our people can do anything that they want, but when your people get elected, we're going to put up a new standard. We are going to make sure that they have to toe the line. And when they don't toe the line, we're going to kick them out, and you can help us. You can take away your power that future generations could have. Future generations could have enjoyed the statesmanship that you did with the power and opportunity that Trump brought, but you were too busy and too distracted to do that because you were busy proving to liberal people in your immediate body or around the country that you're liberal. You get it. You get that Trump's a bad person, that he's rude, that he's dangerous, that he's insane, that he's a Hitler, and you're going to fight him. And so the speculation out there is that they went after Trump because they secretly want to kill his agenda. Now, who does that help? If Trump's agenda is killed, who does it help? It helps all of the liberals in the GOP, because that's what they believe in. They don't believe in his agenda, and they never wanted it to pass, and they were willing to get up and pretend that they were opposed to Obamacare. Who else does it help? It helps the people that were angry at Trump or insulted by him, whatever, however you want to describe it. It helps them get revenge. Who else does it help? It helps the left. So don't these people think about what's coming down the pike? Don't they care? So what's going on in this country is we had an opportunity to change everything, and we're throwing it away supposedly because we can't accept Trump. Now, it doesn't matter how many terrible things that Obama did to the country, how he kept the economy from performing, how he wiped out trillions of dollars in private wealth. It doesn't matter how many illegal people he helped cross the border and all of the other things, how he ruined the healthcare system. It doesn't matter because he did it with a smile on his face, right? Isn't that the theory? The theory is that you can do anything you want as long as you're polite. I don't agree with that. I don't really care if Trump insults people as long as he gets the... Am I in favor of insulting people? No, that's not the point, though. That's not an issue to me. That's his personality, and he's been provoked and he reacted to it. But that's a distraction. That stuff ultimately doesn't matter. What matters is in coming up with policies that help future generations, that help keep us strong, help the military stay big, help businesses stay in America. And while Obama is pretending that everything happens through some sort of a natural fate, you can't drill your way out. You can't drill your way out if you don't drill. People leave the country through some sort of a natural evolution. Businesses leave the country. They don't leave because of anything that can be changed. Although when Trump came along, he showed that wasn't true. So I don't really... Number two, I don't really care about him insulting people, except to the extent that it gets in the way of him persuading people to support him. In that sense, it's important to me. But other than that, I'm not going to confuse his personality with his job. So he's probably made a lot of enemies in Washington, D.C., but it seems to me he's done a lot of good things so far. Another star, supersize me star Morgan Spurlock, super duper liberal, admits to sexually abusing women in confessional. So this is what's going to happen now. It's so powerful, the Me Too, or whatever the movement is called, is so powerful that it's smoking these people out, and they think if they get out in front of it and admit it, then they can still survive. So what happens after the all of these perverts are smoked out? There's going to be another wave, isn't there going to be years of these people getting smoked out? So here's my question. We get rid of Christianity. We're getting rid of belief. We don't think Christmas is a Christian holiday anymore, even though it's That's the source of it, and in the beginning of it is Christ. But of course, you know, if you don't think it's Christian, then you're the one who gets to decide what it's made out of. But what you have here is a movement that is pseudo-Puritan. If you really wanted, if you cared about women, you wouldn't be doing this stuff now. You would have back decades ago, however long it was, a century ago, kept the family intact, kept purity before marriage. I mean, if we don't have the idea that anybody can do anything they want at any time with any other person sexually, as long as they have permission, as long as they're over 16 or 18 or whatever, then a lot of these problems, it seems like, would cure themselves. And we know that Hollywood and, you know, New York and the music industry and entertainment industry and politics are riven with sex and illicit sex and sexual assault and manipulation. You could get rid of a lot of that if, instead of saying we're a post-Christian country, you roll back Christianity and say the model is Jesus. He was celibate. Jesus supported marriage. If you want to have regular, enjoyable sex, get married. If not, be celibate. Have the entire country support it. You'd get rid of all this massive number of illegitimate births and all these confused children that are growing up. And all of the fantastic, incredible cost of fatherlessness. And you would protect women, ultimately. Isn't that what this whole thing is about? Not making a fake, secular Puritanism, but putting the structure back in human society that we used to attack and make fun of all the time. And why did we make fun of it? We made fun of it because it didn't suit our desires. And so our desires and our medicine and our technology got out in front of what it meant to be a human being. You know, I'm just thinking about this. I went into a business, and I know a person. I know this girl that I go down to a restaurant, and there was a girl in there, and she said, "I wish that I hate dating." And I said, "Well, why?" And she said, "I wish that it was the way it used to be." And I said, "Why is that?" And then it dawned on me. I said, "You mean because so many people see dating as the same thing as sex?" And she said, "Yes." So you think about it. This is another angle too. But let me throw this out to you because I think it's pretty interesting. How do you develop a relationship with somebody? And how do you build in what is known as intimacy? How do you do that? What is intimacy? Now, intimacy is not sex, although sex could be part of intimacy. Intimacy is to be close, to have communion with, to seek to understand and be understood, to become closer, to develop insight into others in a stable relationship. Now, let me just ask you this, and you can, your own experiences or people that you've known. If you're, let's put it in terms of dining. If you go out to dinner or at home, excuse me, and every time you order dinner, you order dessert at the same time and you eat the dessert first, how hungry are you for the dinner, for your vegetables, for your, let's say you're trying to be on a good diet. If you eat your dessert first, what's the impact? It ruins the meal. It makes the rest of the meal unpalatable, and it breaks you down. After a while, if that's what you did, you'd stop eating well, and you'd only eat desserts and cookies and stuff. I propose to you that's the same analysis you should use for sex. if your orientation in life is sex first, then that's what you're going to go around, and if you're a person who follows their instincts or their drives, you're going to try to have sex as much as you can, and it could ruin your life. It will at least distract you and probably cause you to be miserable, because it's not an easy thing for a person to go, say a man to go to all the attractive women that he meets and persuade them to go to bed. That's how you end up with these people that are perverts that are constantly molesting people. Now, if we went back to dating as it used to be, and if we went back to courtship, what is the purpose of courtship? It is to allow two people to get to know each other, to know their character and their values, their likes and dislikes, their personalities, how they react to different things, their experiences, so that as they spend time together, if they're increasingly interested in becoming a unit, then they're prepared for it, and the families are getting to know each other. Now, when the sexual revolution hit in the 60s, it took the country by storm, and there were a lot of people there who had the background, the mindset of traditional families, to traditional sex roles, male and female, and they had in them the desire and the training to have courtship, and they switched gears and they became more available to become intimate. And so there was this period of time when it would have been more enjoyable, because it had the illusion, of bringing some forbidden fruit that would be, it was tantalizing, and then they enjoyed it. And then as time went by, the generation that understood courtship slowly dissipated and is dying out. And now you have the generation that took its place that did the most obvious and unavoidable thing. It traded relationship for transactional or utilitarian or instrumental in relationships of people. What am I mean? Two people, like this girl was saying, two people meet, and they're kind of sizing each other up, and maybe they met on a dating app for sexual, recall what the name of that is. Is that Tinder? Let me look this up here. Some of these apps are just made for people to get together and have sex. Two people meet, see each other, and they're attracted. They get together and have sex. Well, where do you go from there? Let me ask you this. Is a one-night stand a foundation? If sex is important in a relationship, some people would argue the most important thing, is a one-night stand, you meet somebody and you immediately have sex with them, is that a foundation for a stable relationship? So, I mean, most people know that it's not. So we're living in a time when people are not as trusting. The roles that men and women play have been melded together. So everybody is a worker, everybody is a parent, and the roles are not enjoyed anymore. Women are really not into cooking, and I can't believe the number of women I've met in my life who bragged, "I don't know how to cook," like I was supposed to jump up and start clapping. You know, I admire your support of the revolution, comrade. We've destroyed the main source of happiness in the culture, which is a stable home life and warm, trusting, intimate relationships with our family. So we've all been spun out like free agents, and now we go around looking for people to meet our needs instrumentally. I mean, I just think it's remarkable. I think the most remarkable thing about it is that nobody seems to be drawing these conclusions. I mean, there's a few books out there, of course, but most people are just kind of going along. But like this girl saying I wish we lived at a different time, because, I mean, most people don't want to be used, right? Women don't want to be used for sex. Men don't want to be used for finances. But it turned out long ago, maybe it's deeply rooted in the mindset of man, that women look for security so that they can build a nest and have their youngins. And men are looking for sex, and the sex drive is put in there so that man reproduces, man and woman reproduce. But there's, you know, two sides to this thing. But I'm absolutely astounded at the way that we have defaced this culture, and we thought that, you know, we were so clever, and it seems like we've got to get back to square one. I'm just throwing that out there to you. And so we got about 10 minutes left here in the show, 9 minutes left, and let me just skip back. That's a topic that I think about a lot, but, you know, I think that it's something that we can make it better, in the same way that we put washroom, you know, in restaurants, we put washrooms with rules. You know, if you're a cook or a server, you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands before you leave. We put rules out there. You know, we've got a ton of rules to make life better. What if we started teaching our kids, you do not sleep with somebody until you are married? Now, the divorce rate is about 50%. When people divorce and get remarried, it doesn't, the divorce rate doesn't go down, it goes up. Interesting, huh? Now, there's only 2 or 3% of the population that gets married as virgins, but when virgins marry, what is their rate of divorce? You're not going to believe this. I think it's less than 3%. Now, boo birds and critics are going to come along and say, that's because they don't know any better. So what? That's the very definition of innocence. And number two, are they happy? The happiest women are conservative women in marriages. The happiest women sexually, and I've got my own theory on this, but it has to do with the fact that women especially are sensitive to being used. And as they go from one relationship to another, their emotions get a callus on them, if you will, and sex becomes more of an activity for themselves as opposed to relational. And that's why I believe you've got all these teachers out there that are having affairs with their students, because sex has gone from being something that I do with this one person that makes us even closer than we usually are, and it turns it into something that I do that I can do with other people because I get excited by it. I get excited over this 16-year-old boy, and I decide I'm going to seduce him. So I send him some naked pictures of myself, and we have a little affair, and then the parents find out, and I get reported to the principal, and then I'm turned into the police, and then I'm prosecuted, and my life is ruined. An amazing number of attractive MILFs, middle-aged women, who are married and have kids, have affairs with their students. There's something wrong in marriage today. It's taking away from the pleasure and enjoyment that human beings used to experience when they were a little bit less sophisticated. So, let me see for you a few more. Oh, when you get this, it'll be too late, but I'm going to go out and see the Geminids tonight, the Geminid meteor shower. Now, Morgan Spurlock, I mentioned that to you. Oh, and here's an interesting story on the same page. Kim Kardashian wooing Meghan Markle as a friend, trying to win her over with diamonds and more. That's sad, isn't it? Jeez. Super Size Me star Morgan Spurlock admits to sexually abusing women in confessional. Now, here's a guy who became a star through making movies, Super Size Me. He ate supersized food for a month or whatever and recorded his weight loss, and he does all kinds of different things. Super liberal. But he's a pervert, I guess. Super Size Me star Morgan Spurlock has jumped ahead of any sexual abuse claims by owning up to his misdeeds and saying, "I'm part of the problem." Hopefully, documentary filmmaker Morgan Spurlock, 47, is going to set a trend with male sexual abusers in Hollywood, as the Super Size Me star has personally owned up to his awful behavior towards women in a shocking confessional on December 13th today. He penned the 1,000-word letter that linked to his Twitter account that began, "As I sit around watching hero after hero, man after man fall at the realization of their past indiscretions, I don't sit by and wonder who will be next. I wonder when will they come for me." That is amazing, because how many of these people out there are there? "You see, I've come to understand after months of these revelations that I am not some innocent bystander. I am also a part of the problem. I'm sure I'm not alone in this thought, but I can't blindly act as though I didn't somehow play a part in this. And if I'm going to truly represent myself as someone who has built a career in finding the truth, then it's time for me to be truthful as well. I am part of the problem." He continues. He revealed he had a drunken sexual encounter with a girl in college and only realized it was non-consensual when she wrote a short story about it for a class and claimed to have been raped. He also revealed that 8 years ago, a female assistant quit after he called her hot pants or sex pants. He wrote, she came to me and said if I didn't pay her a settlement, she would tell everyone. Being who I was, it was the last thing I wanted, so of course I paid. I paid for peace of mind. I paid for her silence and cooperation. Most of all, I paid so I could remain who I was. I am part of the problem. All right, so this is what I think. I think he's got more stories out there. He's got, and he's hoping that if he desensitizes people with his name and the fact that he admitted it, he's going to get a pass. So think about all the people that are going to fall still from this, and the suicides, and there's no sympathy. There's no salvation for a person who's molested or raped somebody, right? It's kind of amazing. All right, so I'm going to wish you a great day, and I hope this show worked out for you. I'll do it more. I think the next time I do a just talk off the top of my head, I'll have a few more notes, but that's what I wanted to talk about, is it's how we all have a nature, we all have a tendency to become liberal, because it's egotism. It's ultimately based on egotism. I'm smart, I'm great, I'm better than other people, and people should agree with me or I will force them to agree with me, and I drop conservative principles because I'm above them, and I think that obviously the left is composed of that. Many people on the right are that way, and people who get into power are in danger of becoming egotists, and to make this a better world, we need to fight for our freedoms, which include the freedom of belief and speech and the freedom to be conservatives. I'll take you out with some On the Border. We are on the border here, folks. Have a great day. I'll see you back tomorrow. Ciao.
Smuggling guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves aloud. The ghostman sails among the clouds. Turns the rifles into silver on the border. On my wall, the colors of the maps are running. From Africa, the winds, they talk of changes coming. The torches flare up in the night. The hand that sets the farms alight to spread the word to those who are waiting on the border.
window. I moved across the darkened room and in the light glow. I thought I saw down in the street the spirit of the century telling us that we're standing on the border. In the islands where I grew up, nothing seems the same. It's just the patterns that remain, an empty shell. But there's a strangeness in the air you feel.